Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
I believe I can tapes. I believe that I can scouts. Think about it every night and day. Why the fuck ain't it Monday? There you go. Welcome. Two songs. You can see why this is not a singing podcast.
Ooh, I want to sing though.
This guy vocalizing while he's sick. The nerve.
Scumbag.
Yeah, it would sound bad if I was not sick, in my defense, so I might as well just go for it.
I disagree. I mean, you could be like one of those emo bands. Like, they don't have to sing good at all.
Well, I mean, that is fair. I'm sure I can find plenty of bands to lend my lack of musical talent to, but not this audience. They're here to hear about movie critiques.
What? They want movie critiques?
Well, that's what we're giving them. I don't know if anybody actually requested it, but that's what the fuck they're getting.
Yeah, buckle up, strap in, and other assorted preparations.
Yeah, like H.
Yeah, you got your prep H on? Because we're coming for that ass.
That's right. It smells like Bengay in here.
Oh, that's always me.
Oh, okay. I mean, we are getting to a certain age.
Oh, yeah, man. Everything hurts. I can tell you it's going to rain next week.
That's right.
It hurts so bad, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, movies.
Yeah.
I got two. You got two. Would you like for me to start or would you like to start?
I want to start because you brought up Hurt So Bad, and I think that describes this movie that I have here pretty well.
All right.
2006's Invincible.
Oh.
I watched this on 10/6/2023. It's 1 hour and 45 minutes, way too long. It is a sports drama directed by Erickson Core, starring Marky Mark Wahlberg, Elizabeth Banks, and Greg Kinnear.
Hi, Greg.
Your movie summary on this one is based on the story of Vince Papale, a 30-year-old bartender from South Philadelphia who overcame long odds in order to play for the Eagles of Philadelphia in 1976.
The longest of odds. Very long.
So this movie is like if they took every cliche sports movie and lumped it into a film. Now, before the audience gets upset, the remaining 1.5 people who stuck around after the song, I understand this is based on a true story. However, looking up some information after this movie did in fact confirm some suspicions that I had that not only, and we know most biopics tend to really stretch things out or move order of events to make things more dramatic, punch it up, right?
Sure.
To make it more filmic. Totally makes sense. This movie straight up made up some bullshit, though. It's just really underbaked. Like, Elizabeth, like, I feel so bad for Elizabeth Banks. Like, they're just basically like, pretend you're from Boston. And it's like, her just pretending she's from Boston or like upstate New York, somewhere like that, with this kind of New England accent. The whole movie, she has no real character there. She had some brothers and she's Mark Wahlberg's love interest. Like, it's just like, you watch the movie and it's like trying so hard to make you feel bad and like trying to raise your spirits and make you root for Mark Wahlberg. It's like, he plays football with his buddies in the rain in a field in Philadelphia. And it's just like, why do I care about this guy?
There's no fields in Philadelphia.
Right, which is, yeah, that's ridiculous in and of itself. And it's like, but why do I care about this dude? Like, make me care about him. Other than just, he's a bartender, and the odds are not in his favor. And it's like, all right, but like, what about him is, you know, what about him really matters? He's going through some tough financial problems. Okay, but like, why should I care about him? Because he's an everyman. And it's just like, oh my gosh. Like, I just, watching it, just, like, I just kept going, this reads like BS, this reads like BS. And even, like, the big triumphant moment of the movie when he's on the Eagles made up for this movie.
Huh.
Yeah, it's pretty bad in that it just has no meat on the bones. Like, it's trying so hard to polish a turd. Like, when I hear that term, this movie will now come to my mind. Not the episode of Mythbusters where they delightfully attempt to polish turds.
They actually did it.
They did. And this movie does not.
Didn't Jamie cheat?
I think he tried some things that were technically outside the boundaries of actual polishing, but technically are considered polishing. So him and Adam had a bit of a back and forth about it, which I thought was hilarious.
It's always the best.
Very in the spirit of Mythbusters. I loved it.
For sure.
Yeah, that was a delight. I'm glad you brought up something that was good here.
Yeah.
Then this is one of these, you're going to hear the scores, and I'm going to sound like I'm batshit crazy.
Okay.
IMDb gives this a 7.0 out of 10.
Uh-huh.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 138 critics, 72%. The audience of 50,000 plus.
Plus.
73%.
Okay.
I look at these numbers, I'm just like, oh my god, like, we're just okay with any feel-good story about any old topic, I guess. And here comes me, the curmudgeon that I am, with a 4 out of 10.
Yeah, it felt like a 4, it's for sure.
Super forgettable, there's just, you can do so much better with basically 90% of other biopics.
Dang. That's yeah. You know what is really surprising is IMDb gives so many things the dreaded 6.7.
Mm-hmm.
What made this slightly better than all the movies that are on there?
I don't know. It's well produced and well shot and well made. I mean, obviously, like, they had money. It was a Disney movie, but hoof. Yeah. Not enough there. You can only kind of polish that up so much.
Is he going to be a Lorcana card?
I certainly hope not.
But he has the ability to be invincible.
He does, but not like invincible.
No, not the fun way, like invincible. No,
that's right.
Well, I can get you away from Marky Mark for a while.
Please.
Probably not forever, though.
Yeah, it's inevitable.
Yeah, he is.
He is.
Sometimes he's fine. But I have a movie from 2009.
Okay.
This movie's called Horseman.
Horseman?
Horseman.
Okay.
So I watched this. On, wow, there's a lot of sirens outside, everybody. I hope you can hear them.
Ooh.
some shit going down, as Cypress Hill would say.
You better be ready.
When the shit go down. 2 weeks in a row. Will we mention it for the next, I don't know, 5 weeks? Probably.
That's how we do.
So I watched this on the 13th of October, 2023. It is the perfect runtime of an hour 30.
Yes.
Yes. Crime mystery thriller, directed by Jonas Åkerlund. Starring Dennis Quaid, Xia Zhang, and Lou Taylor Pucci.
Pucci.
Yeah, I knew you'd like Pucci.
Oh, yeah.
I need to go back to my planet now. IMDb movie summary. A recently widowed detective still grieving over his wife's death discovers a shocking connection between a serial killing spree and the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
I see.
Yeah, pretty wild. We have done some Åkerlund-directed movies on this podcast before. I did Polar.
Yeah.
And you did Lords of Chaos.
Yes.
So that's kind of fun.
Yeah, pretty cool.
This is a pretty dark movie. Kind of paint by numbers, by the books. It gives you a lot that's original, but like the story is very meh. All right. So what you have is what you think is initially one serial killer, and then you realize there's a four horsemen theme, and there's probably four of them, and they are murdering people to do with the seven deadly sins in a way, but they have these contraptions that are like body harnesses that you would like attach yourself with hooks from, and all kinds of awful things done to these poor people that, you know, rub them the wrong way, I guess. Really dark. But Dennis Quaid cannot get his shit together. He's had a hard time since his wife died. He's a very specific detective. He does a lot with forensics, and he actually has a specialty with teeth. And there are teeth that are found at the first crime scene, which makes him the one that they call. Very bizarre. And very dark, very grim. This movie asks a lot of you by the end, and I'm not going to spoil it for you. But on one hand, it's like, it's kind of dumb. But then I'm also like, but it's kind of cool at the same time, too. So,
okay.
I was a little torn on it, because I'm like, I like this little reveal. But then I'm like, well, I guess I did an hour and a half on this. It's tough. Like, I feel like this movie is cool, but, like, not everybody's going to love it. I think you're either going to check in or check out hard by the end.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Effects are cool. Very gruesome. There is moments where they catch one of the horsemen, and you realize they want to be caught, and they're slowly leading to this awful, awful end. And the more that they interact with them, the more you're like, oh, no, this is going to build to something awful, isn't it?
We've seen Seven.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? So they don't want to be compared to Seven. So it is different enough, I will say. But I don't know. Why are you making me think of Seven?
Right. Exactly.
You know, on that other hand. But I still scored this pretty good because I did like the reveals and the twists and the turns. I couldn't have predicted most of this movie.
Awesome.
I feel. So, like, it's got so much good and so much bad. And it's just like, where will that fall for the general movie-going audience? I just don't know. I think all the performances are haunting. And Dennis Quaid just, like, sucks at being a dad because he's so wrapped up in this case and tired and, like, about to fall over. It's an interesting kind of watch. You're going to love it or you're going to hate it. So.
Fair enough.
IMDb, they gave it a 5.5.
Okay.
The critics, 6 of them at Rotten Tomatoes, 17%.
Whoa.
Yes. The audience, 10,000 plus, 25%.
Yikes.
My wife and I both have similar scores, and we are the highest. I gave it a 7, and my wife gave it a 7.5. I think there's weird reveals at the end, and you're either going to be all in on it, or you're going to be like, eh, what the fuck, I wasted my time.
Fair enough.
But I liked it.
that's what matters.
That's right. That's all that matters.
That's right. And nothing else matters. Continuing throwing in more song references.
No, I can't do it. Metallica will come for me.
They will.
Lars will appear behind me.
That's right. I got more movies.
More?
They're more Disney movies.
More?
2023, Disney's The Haunted Mansion.
Ah, okay.
I watched this on October 7th of 2023. It is 2 hours and 3 minutes precisely. It is a family horror comedy movie directed by Justin Simon, starring Lakeith Stanfield, Rosario Dawson, Owen Wilson. Danny DeVito is in this movie. There is a lot of people in this movie.
Nice.
Your movie summary. A single mom hires a tour guide, psychic, priest, and historian to help exorcise her newly bought mansion after discovering that it is inhabited by ghosts.
Is that one person or four people?
That is, each one is a unique person.
Oh, okay. You just kept going. I was like, oh man, it's a priest psychic tour guide. That rules.
That would be much more interesting.
Yeah.
This movie wanted to be something interesting, but felt like it was tied down with too much in terms of what it had to do to be the Haunted Mansion, like the Disney ride. It had attempted to tackle some pretty strong thematic elements, but again, had to kind of set up some BS, like Scooby-Doo kind of world-building crap that could potentially be possibly, like, the touch of a franchise or at least a sequel set up, and was like, you know what? We don't care about themes. You know what we do care about? Money.
Jinkies.
Yeah, it's definitely very of the current time live-action Disney fare in that way, where a lot of things get shunted aside in the attempt to grab more dollary dues.
Oh, those dollary dues. Can't have enough.
No, and they just really forget that in order to get more dollary dues, you have to have people care and want to spend initial dollary dues.
That's true.
Yeah, it's not good. The jokes are, like, pretty predictable. They definitely sacrifice, like I said, a lot of possibly deep thematic elements involving Rosario Dawson's husband, and she's a son, and they don't have a father that's in the movie, and there's a lot of that gets touched on, but just kind of left aside, or then picked up and utilized when it's convenient for the plot, versus trying to weave it in and make it a deep, interesting theme in the film.
Sure.
Like, instead of trying to tackle issues like loss of a loved one or a family member, they're like, that's important only when it matters to this very thin story setup that we have for world building purposes. So it just, anytime they attempted to bring up one of those themes, it felt very hollow and it kind of bristled. I bristled against it pretty hard. So it was just kind of rough. And I mean, like, if you end up misusing Danny DeVito, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, for sure.
So I feel like this movie really missed the mark, in my opinion. But we shall see what other people think, because that's the novelty. But what really matters is what I think.
Correct.
IMDb, 6.1 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 253 critics, 37%. Audience, 2,500 plus, 84%.
Blah.
Yeah, a huge delta. And it's not a surprise why, right? Like, people wanted to see the ghosts from the rides. They're in there. You will see them, I promise you. Other than that, you have to slog through another 2 hours of film that is not very good. And that's kind of where the critics and I lean, and I give it a 3.5 out of 10.
Boy, you know what it needed was a ghost dog leading a handsome ghost man to Rosario Dawson to kind of have, like, I don't know, ghost love.
You know, I just, like Rosario so much. I like Danny DeVito so much. I like Owen Wilson a decent stretch. I think all the principal cast of this movie is awesome. And it's just like the fact that they squandered so much. And, you know, it's a ride about a haunted house. You could have done anything you wanted to with it. And the fact this is the direction we went just felt like a letdown across the board.
It's such a shame, man.
You know, it really is.
Dang.
Yeah.
Dang. Well, I can bring us up from this.
Oh, please do.
With a super uplifting movie.
Oh.
1995's The Prophecy.
I see.
Yes. I'm kidding, of course. I watched this on the 14th of October, 2023. It's an hour 38. Your genre, action, crime, drama. Directed by Gregory Wyden. Starring the Christopher Walken.
Indeed.
The Elias Koteas.
So good.
The Eric Stoltz.
Wow.
And the Virginia Madsen.
That is the 90s, 90s cast.
It's so 90s, isn't it? It's so good. Your summary. At a scene of a bizarre murder, L.A. homicide detective Thomas Daggett discovers a lethal heavenly prophecy now being fulfilled on Earth. In his fight to stop the forces of evil, he finds an unlikely ally in an elementary school teacher.
Daggett!
Daggett! I loved this movie. When I was younger, I was like, this movie is a bit of a stretch, but I like it. It's okay. Your basic idea is God made humans, and he really liked us. But the angels, they're like kind of jealous of us, and there was kind of two camps about it. So there's this war going on between the angels in heaven, where there's good angels and bad angels, if you want to look at it like that. And Christopher Walken is one of the big ones, and he's coming down here to try to bring about a war with the humans to annihilate the humans because he don't like us.
It's fair.
Yeah, I don't like us either. He's got a good point.
Yeah.
But he is very dark. It's very weird. And there's interesting special effects in this movie. There's a great scene where he inspects a corpse of a fallen angel. And then he walks away and it just whispers into his hand and it bursts into flames. And it's all one big shot. It's very, very awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, there's some really cool effect things, but they're few and far between. Really good acting. Really good. Way more dramatic than I remembered. I think I just kind of like the idea of like, the angels don't get along. That's fun.
Right.
But like the school teacher's a little weird. Basically, she comes into it because the one fallen angel who is injured fighting Christopher Walken, he's hiding out in the school because there's like an abandoned section of it. And these kids find him playing hide and seek. And he's trying to pass, basically preacher style, he's trying to get this entity into the little girl so she can run away with it. And he can't find him because he's gonna die. So the school teacher is trying to protect this little girl. Eric Stoltz shows up. It's just like, there's like five of these movies, by the way.
Yes, there are. There are a bunch of them.
And I'm like, I remember seeing the second one, which I think does the classic thing where now Christopher Walken's the good guy.
Yes, I believe you're right.
But beyond that, I have no idea, and I don't know if even I am brave enough to keep going down the prophecy train.
I think Christopher Walken appears in like a number of them, too.
He's on the cover of at least three or four of them, yeah.
Yeah.
So I remember the second one not being awful, but like, I don't know. Do we strive for not awful on this podcast? I guess sometimes we do.
Oh, constantly. Did you hear me sing at the beginning?
Oh, that's right. You did. It was lovely.
That's wrong, but I appreciate it.
No, you're going to front that emo band we talked about with the noodly guitar. You're going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
You just got to be more self-deprecating.
I see.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, there it is. And you got to like blame the weather and stuff. You'll figure it out.
Okay.
But all in all, this movie's okay. It's fine. It's got a cool concept, and really that's it. It's a lot of drama. A lot of weird kind of awkwardness to it. A lot of clumsy stuttering around. But overall, it's fine. So I kind of have to leave it at that, I think. I think it's just not a lot here.
It's fair.
IMDb, give it a 6.4.
Okay.
24 Rotten Tomato critics give it 46%.
Okay.
The audience, 25,000 plus, they do the opposite. They gave it 64%.
Huh.
And I fall in line. I gave it a 6.5. I think it's at least that good, and it has moments of brilliance that just aren't consistent enough. The wife was really digging this, but she was sleepy. She couldn't make it. Too dramatic, too drawn out.
That's fair.
Yeah. So yeah,